It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
They should be favored. This is how it should go. The Bills are the better team at literally every position except for tight end.
I can tell you who Kansas City doesn't want to see, and that's Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
The best player living is Lamar Jackson.
Buffalo, I want Mahomes on the deck.
I think Josh Allen is more valuable to his team.
They should have lost it. They could have lost Bucks. They got so lucky against Denver. Sorry, Kansas City. You're not even close. That's like comparing Picasso with a kindergarten finger painter.
Regardless of the outcome, I'm taking Josh Allen every single time.
Chiefs have the ball at their own 44. 8 seconds left, down three. Safeties are back for the Bills. Mahomes takes a snap on the near hash. Goes down the middle to Kelce, 35, down to the 31. Timeout called by the Chiefs. Timeout at the 31-yard line with 3 seconds left, and here comes Butker, a 25-yard pass play. Placement down, Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good! A little prophecy! Tyler Bass has struggled, and he just misses the kick. The Buffalo Bills win a fake on the left side, and the Chiefs knock him down. They hold the fort. Buffalo tries a fake on fourth down and five, and the Chiefs defend it perfectly. 40, 35, 30, Cheetah at full speed, 10 to the 5-yard line. You play and press, the Cheetah will run you all the way around the earth. With 13 seconds to go in the game, a 36-33 lead for Buffalo.
The play to Travis, I mean, it was kind of a thing where he wasn't necessarily supposed to do that, but after the timeout, we got to look at what the defense was doing, and he actually said it to me.
Do it. And I was just like, all right, here we go, boys.
You remember the Top Gun, the first Top Gun movie, when they were ripping the pilots, and Tom Skerritt walks out, and they said, well, that'll pretty much cover the flyby. Guess what? This will pretty much cover the fact that Patrick Mahomes, coming into this game, had never won a road playoff game. He has now, and he does it in Buffalo. It's his 40th win on the road.
How about Mr. Mac Morey on that nice open that you'll hear at the top of every hour? Because here we go again, folks. You had all week to prepare. Kansas City, Buffalo. Here we go.
Let's do this, baby. Woo. Let's go 10-0 and beat the Buffalo Bills and essentially, Dusty, wrap up the AFC this weekend.
That's the only reason why I want the dub, Bob. Yeah, I just want it to be over with so we can cigar it and cocktail it in the brandy room for the last 6 weeks of the season.
Absolutely. And with Carolina coming up next week, we can take the week off and talk about the great places to have whoopee instead of talking about a football game. Right? I kid. No, I'm serious. But no, you win this week and it's over, brother. It is. I mean, like, it's done this week.
You
chance bet.
You beat this team this weekend. You moved to 10-0.
I want to pay him back.
Buffalo's got three losses.
Yeah.
Plus the loss to you. You're up to essentially four games with seven to go. Is that what it is, right? Seven to go after this one. So
week
I'm doing
10,
the math. Yeah. So you're up four with seven to go. That's pretty much all she wrote when it comes to the AFC.
Carolina and Vegas on your schedule.
Exactly.
I don't think you're losing those games. Denver is there, which right. That's a week 18 game, could be irrelevant. Chargers are here. You're right. Not losing that game at home.
Sunday night game, probably not.
Not nope. A chance.
And then the Pittsburgh one is going to be very interesting. And you and I walked in this morning going, what the hell's going on with the Steelers right about now? Like, you know?
Yeah, bigger surprise, Steelers or Eagles?
I think the Steelers are the bigger surprise right now. I absolutely do, because nobody thought Russell Wilson was going to be
resurrected.
Anything. His numbers over the last month, our friend Ben Maller said this morning, are better than Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Now, if you would have had money on that, you'd be a millionaire probably today, because this guy, Russell Wilson, has played out of his mind over the last 4 weeks. It's amazing how Mike Tomlin has kind of rebooted him, but it also was amazing. I mean, watching Thursday Night Football last night, the hell's going on in Philadelphia all of a sudden? They're sitting at 8-2, and the Redskins, Washington football team, Commanders, whatever their name is at this point in time, they've now lost two in a row. Have they won since the Hail Mary? Have they won since the Hail Mary game against Chicago?
I don't think
they have, right?
They had a bye week, and they've lost the last 2 weeks.
They've lost their last two.
They lost to Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Yeah, and then Daniels with the big interception and two touchdowns in 20 seconds by Saquon Barkley, who's just been, we were talking about rejuvenating his career, right?
That's why running backs are closers, man.
That's unbelievable.
That was Wade Davis, two middle fingers, 99 on the black. See you later. We're getting out of here.
We're done, man. Yep. We are done. And Philadelphia now sitting at 8-2, and they're looking at one of the premier teams, and you're probably thinking about you know, Philadelphia and Detroit in the NFC Championship game right about now.
I'm pretty sure they're going to fire their kicker. That game should have been over a long time ago last night. Speaking of kickers, we'll get into the Chiefs kicker a little bit
situation.
Later. Tough news yesterday. But no, this is, guys, I'll be honest with you. Everybody, I think, should take time to talk about this matchup. This is the one I love every year.
Yeah, I do too.
It's consistent. It's true. It doesn't really do a whole lot in the regular season, but like, it actually does. Last year, it had a lot of implications on the number one seed.
Yep.
Guess what, fellas? This game pretty much will let you know who's going to get the one seed. I know Buffalo can still win and the Chiefs are in the driver's seat and have control, but it puts a little more added pressure to the Chiefs the rest of the way. Right now, if the Chiefs win this game, they have no pressure.
Right.
I mean, I get it. Houston, Pittsburgh, we're maybe getting a little cocky, but that's two games. Say, catastrophically, you lose both of those games, you would still finish the season 14-15-2.
Right.
Right? Buffalo, if I can be honest, already has two losses.
Right.
If they lose to the Chiefs, they'd have three losses. You still have the tiebreaker overall schedule.
You have a month-long tiebreaker
over
Buffalo.
That's just a little tiny fragment of how the comfortability stat works. The other thing, too, is that, like, this is what I love. This is why I go to sporting events. When I went to high school football, I knew that game was going to be good because the competition was going to be there. Blue Springs was not as good as Blue Springs South this year. Clearly, Blue Springs South, way better. They play Liberty tonight. Blue Springs South. And the thing about this is, like, this game between the Bills and the Chiefs, there's so many different layers. This is Mahomes versus Allen. This is, you know, last year versus this year. This is the heated rivalry in the AFC. This is, in my opinion, New England versus Indianapolis, if you want to continue the New England rivalry or the New England narratives with this Kansas City Chiefs team. Now, again, did Peyton win in the playoff or in the regular season sometimes? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did he win in the playoffs?
Never.
Not very often.
Maybe once or twice in the postseason, right?
You know, you might drop a game in the regular season to the Bills, but you always seem to find a way in the playoffs. You did it last year. You're going back to Oracle Park. Not Oracle.
Orchard
Park. Not going to play basketball, but you're going back to Orchard Park where everything last year was so Chiefs heavy. You think we're ready for this game? They're ready for this game.
Oh, yeah.
I would think that you'd be fired up for this game if you're Buffalo, because this is where Jason Kelce ripped his shirt off.
Yep.
This is where people threw snowballs at Patrick Mahomes. This is where they were not supposed to go on the road and not supposed to win.
Right.
And now here they come back uninvited, unwelcomed. And it's Friday before the game, and guys, I can't wait.
I can't wait
I
either.
Love this game.
I'm so
every
fired
year
up for it. And one of the big reasons why I love it too, and this is going to sound so weak, and maybe it's me with the old age a little bit, the respect factor on both sides is so good. Like, these two teams truly do respect each other, and I think the fan bases for the most part truly respect each other.
Can you change
right?
your opinion after this weekend about Burrow and Allen?
Maybe.
Like, if Allen goes out there and pistol whips 31-37 for 320 and two touchdowns and wins.
Yeah. But did he do it in January? I mean, I still got to see Josh Allen do it in January, you know, when it matters most. But Chris Jones said something yesterday that he goes, we're not just playing the Bills, we're playing their fans. And when I heard that, I'm like, okay, it's fired up time. You know, these guys are ready to go because you're going out there and you're playing against these fans. And the last time you saw them, they were pelting you with snowballs as you were trying to do a post-game interview grown with Tracy Wolfson. Yeah, right. Like grown men are throwing snowballs at other grown men because you beat them in a postseason game. And that's just a couple of fans. You had those, you know, those asshat fans in every city, we've every stadium. Yeah. I mean, did you see the fight the other day?
Guy punched the security guard.
Yeah, I mean, like it's all over the place. It happens. You get a couple cocktails in, everybody loses their mind, right? Every game,
fireball, dude.
I tell you what, if you lose your voice, every game that there is snow, there are snowballs being thrown. So I'm not gonna signal out a couple of Buffalo fans and go, oh, they're bad fans or anything like that.
No, but you gotta be really pissed. Be like, man, screw that guy.
Oh God, yeah, you're pissed. Well, I mean, wouldn't you be if you kept losing to the same damn team?
Added some yellow to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you sound like I was a child. Let's pee in the snow and throw it at each other. Okay, Nino and Michael, let's go.
My mouth's open. Yeah.
I love the respect factor in this game too. Like I think truly for the most part, both fan bases really respect each other. And at the end of the game, it's like a, you know, it's a prize fight. You can shake hands and hug and embrace and, you know, really respect each other. And, you know, if you're a script follower in the NFL, some would say they probably are leaning towards Buffalo because if Kansas City wins this and starts to run away with the AFC, it doesn't make the rest of the season all that compelling, but it actually does. From 2-7 is very compelling right now. In the AFC, and having an undefeated team and a team going for a three-peat with an undefeated record, I think is more compelling than having a little bit of a race down the stretch for the NFL. And you tell me what's going to bring more viewers to the TV, the Chiefs every week trying to go undefeated or the Chiefs trying to hold off Buffalo at the end of the year for the one seed. People are going to come to the television and they're going to watch a team that's going for history. We like stuff we don't see all the time, right? It's like why people are going to watch the Mike Tyson Jake Paul event. I'm not even calling it a fight event because we haven't seen that before. We've never seen a YouTube star get into a ring with maybe the guy who throws the hardest punch in the history of the universe, right? You want to see something like that. This is why it's important for the Chiefs to continue to win from an NFL standpoint because it's something we haven't seen before. We've never seen a team go undefeated and a three-peat in the same year. And to have both of those happen and have the Chiefs cemented as the best team in the history of the NFL, you know the league wants that. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this game plays out. I think it's going to be a barn burner. I think it's probably going to come down to the last possession.
Like a field goal?
Yeah, maybe. I hope not for us, you know, type thing. But we'll talk about that in a second. But I just think it's going to be an unbelievable game. Like, I am really, really excited about this one. And quite frankly, Dusty, after talking to a bunch of people in Buffalo this week, I feel like we're more excited for this game than the folks in Buffalo are right now.
No doubt. Mac, what's this game mean to you?
Man, this is it. This is the season right here, man. I'm excited. I mean, this is, I feel like a lot of people are kind of pining. I feel like we've talked about all season, just waiting for that Chiefs loss, And if Josh Allen gets the best of Mahomes, you're just waiting for the national media to come down on this Kansas City. Oh, there it is.
Right.
Could happen to the Broncos. Could happen to the Falcons. This team's fake. So I think a lot's riding in this game. And that, not that it matters what the national media says, but just for us in here, just to be like, you know what? Screw you guys. This win will mean a lot.
That's what it's about. Telling everybody to F off.
Yes, exactly. You
know? Sometimes that's okay.
Yeah. You know what? F you, man. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear people try to tell us that the Chiefs aren't that good of a football team when they're winning games this year with basically all of their weapons hurt and now one of their biggest weapons hurt, you know, in Harrison Butker.
Speaking of, we will kick to that on the other side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan. Happy Red Friday. Cannot wait. 325 CBS, Romo Nance.
Look out, Jim!
Speaking of looking out, look out for a Chief you're thankful for, because Bob can tell you how you can have a really nice Thanksgiving with our friends at Hy-Vee.
Yeah, coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll play our final highlight of the week of the Chief we are thankful for. And if you know who that is and you're caller six, you will be qualified as our final qualifier to win that $500 grand prize from Hy-Vee. And we will announce the winner later on and give you that gift card. So the final qualifier is today, coming up in about 20 minutes. So get ready to dial when you hear that highlight. And if you know the Chiefs that we're thankful for, the Chief that we are thankful for, you will win $500 to Hy-Vee if you are the lucky qualifier.
So real quick, if we can, some tough news yesterday.
Yeah.
No Butker. Does anybody know how he got injured?
Somebody had a video out there of him collapsing on his knee, like on field goals all season or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. But judging by that last kickoff, like, you know, before the blocked field goal, you thought, what the hell is going on with Butker? So clearly there, it looked like to me, you know, that was kind of the breaking point, if you will, because that kick was supposed to be in the end zone, as Taub or Tobe or however people are pronouncing it these days, you know, said. We'll talk more about that coming up at 7:30 with Mitch today, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. I'm sure he'll have more information on when that happened, but that's a big loss, brother. Like, I was sitting yesterday at the California Trail basketball game, and this lady looked at me, who I'd never met before, a little old lady. She goes, what are we going to do without Butker? I'm like, I don't know.
Next man up.
That's a tough loss. Like, you can lose wide receivers and Andy Reid can scheme around it. This is one of the best kickers in the history of the NFL.
Where do you rank him for important Chiefs players?
A top. I mean, he's one of the top.
Mahomes is one.
Mahomes is up there. Kelsey is up there. And I think Butker's in your top five. Like,
Jones is three. Yeah, McDuffie four.
No, I think Butker may be ahead.
Would you be more nervous if you lost McDuffie or Harrison Butker?
Butker.
Really?
Yeah, because I think there's other guys at those positions that can step up, right? And Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid can out-scheme anybody. You can't out-kick somebody, right? You know how valuable Harrison Butker is for this team.
Would you rather have Butker or Kelsey?
Kelsey.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think Kelsey's also one of those irreplaceable guys.
So now we know that this game is
probably third or fourth on the most, you know, on that list behind the big three, and then it's Harrison.
Because what's the narrative of kickers? They always seem to get zero credit, but then they always get made fun of when they're bad.
Oh, no doubt, right?
Like a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people forget, I apologize for saying that, but the 13-second game, we remember the Kelsey catch, the Tyreek Hill catch. Butker had to hit that from 40 plus.
Yeah. Dude's nails, man. Yeah. And the good news is it's only going to be about 3 weeks. Yeah.
He hit that field goal.
Right. Like, he's so important to this team. I mean, he may be third, dude, like, because nobody else can do what he can do on a consistent basis like he does, right? Justin Tucker's a guy that everybody thinks is, you know, the best in the league or whatever.
Was.
But Harrison Butker is, I mean,
he's the premier.
Do you know what it's like? And we do know what it's like to go out there with an unreliable kicker and go, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Remember they hired that guy from Arizona after Butker got hurt the last time? And it was like, crap, here we go again.
Yeah. Right. And we all lived through the Lynn Elliott, you know, stuff and all that kind of crap. And when you have a reliable kicker, like when he trots out there, and yes, he trots, that's what kickers do. They trot out there. When he trots out there, do you ever think he's going to miss? And no matter the situation, he's making this kick.
Not only that, but I think the important stat we're not mentioning is that it's once they get past the 45.
It's three points.
That shortens the field for Mahomes. Like, I always give bullpen analogies in football, but like, honestly, like today's age, if you kick it out of the end zone, you get the ball, 30 yard line?
Yeah.
You got to go 35 yards. I mean, with Mahomes.
Yeah.
And you pair that with Butker.
Right.
And his clutch gene.
Yep.
It's a massive blow.
It's a huge blow to this team. And I don't want to understate it.
Like, if it were to happen against like Carolina and, you know, whatever else, like, fine. But like, it, just one more week.
Right. And that kind of seems like the beauty of it. If you want to look at it, he's going to miss 3 weeks, you know, potentially, you know, with this injury, and maybe four, obviously, because he was put on that IR. But you look at the opponents that are coming up. Obviously, this week is big, but next week it's Carolina. The week after that, it's another team. And the week after that, it's another team. So you don't want to lose him for this game. The ones after that, you're like, whatever. But I will say this, as I've told everybody, don't let it come down to the kicker. Do yourself a favor and don't let it come down to the kicker this week, because we don't know what Spencer Strider is going to do. Like, that's the guy that they signed from the Jets practice squad. Spencer Strider is a pitcher in baseball. Exactly. But we never heard of Harrison Butker either.
It's true.
When they signed him off the practice squad of Carolina. And I remember when they did it, I'm like, Cairo Santos is really good. And then they went and got this Butker guy. I'm like, oh, this guy's a Hall of Famer.
It makes me believe that, like, now this game's going to come down to that moment. Like, I don't know if it's going to come down to a field goal for the Chiefs, or if there's going to be like a missed field goal late in the game that's going to cause the Chiefs to like maybe mishap on this thing. But like, to be the optimistic side of it, you know, and we'll get to what the Bills are, because we think they're like kind of apathetic. But to get to the optimistic side of maybe this guy is the next Buck.
Maybe
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be like the biased guy. I'm just trying to put both sides of the field here that, you know, yeah, you miss your very top important Chiefs player who's been part of this dynasty, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Will be in the Ring of Honor someday for the Chiefs, no doubt about
it. He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah?
Oh God, yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's Fair a Hall enough. Of Famer. Not many kickers get into that Hall of Fame, obviously, but okay. The guy's 90% or something like that. It's ridiculous how accurate he is.
He's a hair behind being the best percentage in all of football history. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, he's that good. And and so you lose a guy like that, you lose something that you take for granted in the kicker, but I will say and continue to say, don't let it come down to the kicker. Do not let it come down to Spencer Schrader.
Your job. And don't let it be one of those, you know, sort of things.
Yeah, but somebody was saying to me last night when we were sitting at Jasper's having dinner, which, by the way, phenomenal.
Thanks for having us out there. It was really good. Chicken parm was amore.
Yeah, Macamore, right? Okay. And then somebody said to me last night, like, the Jets were legitimately pissed that they signed this guy off their practice squad.
I saw
squad,
that.
You know?
Yeah, I saw a couple of tweets about that, but I don't know what's fake and real.
Yeah, but if that seems to be the feel, like they were trying to stash this guy in their practice squad and Brett Veach did his thing again and went out there and got this guy, then maybe it's just like getting Harrison Butker off the practice squad of the Carolina Panthers. So who knows, man? Like, I feel like if Brett Veach signs a guy, I'm good with that, right? Like, his track record states that, you know, he's got to sign this guy, or he signs a guy and they're pretty good. So we'll see what happens. But again, I'll just continue to say, don't let it come down to the kicker, because you don't know until you get out there in game action what this guy's going to do.
You guys want to guess how many kickers are in the Hall of Fame?
Two. I know it's Jan Stenerud.
More.
Is Ale Haje Sheik in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Vinatieri?
No. There are five kickers in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Who are they?
Morton Anderson.
Yeah.
John Stenerud.
Yeah. Jan. Yeah.
Jan Stenerud. George Blanda.
Yeah.
Ray Guy.
Yeah. He's a punter, though.
He's in it
as a kicker punter. So it's and less than five kickers. Yeah.
And then Lou Groza. Or Groza.
Groza. Groza. Yeah. Lou the Toe.
How's that not a menu item at Jasper's?
The Lou Groza? Maybe after today. I don't know.
We get a new menu item out there. I'll take the Groza. You want some gravy? I do.
So four kickers and a punter. That's it. That are in the Hall of Fame.
No Vinatieri,
former Chiefs.
No Vinatieri in the Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
And you guys think Butker's getting in. Okay.
Well, has Vinatieri been out long enough?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be in.
He's been out since 2019 at least.
Yeah.
I guess kickers probably aren't like, you know, first ballot.
No.
Like, eventually they get in, but yeah.
But, I mean, Butker, I mean, he's as good as it gets. It's hard to get in the Hall. Like,
That's true.
As you mentioned, Ray Guy, the only punter in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's hard for those guys to get in. But if you're good enough to get in, then you should get in. And I think Butker is a Hall of Fame type kicker, yeah.
When you got to be on a team to have those opportunities to have the clutch kicks. And, man, who has more clutch kicks than Harrison Butker?
I mean, really.
The last 10 years.
He has. I mean, it's not just the fact that he makes every kick. It's the situations in which he makes these kicks. It's Super Bowls. It's championship games. It's playoff games. It's big wins at the end of major games in the regular season. Like, the guy's got ice water in his veins, man. It's unbelievable how good he is.
I feel more confident with him, like, in a mid-40s to win the game than I do, like, a 90% free throw shooter. Like, that's how confident I am in Harrison Butker. It's crazy. Yeah,
and every kick, I mean, it's not like it's close and they're squeaking by the uprights. They're dead on.
Boom. You know the character Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, God, yes.
Right.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of those.
Everybody hates him.
Yeah.
Right.
Guys all,
right. Well, she'll never go out with me. Well, yeah, because you don't go talk to her.
Right.
A lot of apathetic piss baby mantra with Buffalo fans, I think.
Aren't you surprised by that?
That's a Cody Tapp term that I stole, and I love it. But Sal Capaccio, when he was on the show this week, he had this to say about this game.
This is almost a no-win situation for the Bills in a lot of ways with some of their fans and a lot nationally, which is, and a lot of Bills fans are like this too, which really kind of irks me because, again, we'll go back to, man, enjoy the ride, right? You're so good right now. But it's basically, if the Bills lose this game, a lot of fans will say, well, there you go, can't beat the Chiefs, same old Bills. Sean McDermott can't beat Andy Reid in a big game. But if you beat them, it's, I don't care, do it in the playoffs when it matters.
It's a no win, right?
It's a no win. And I think I've heard and I've seen that from a lot of fans so far. And I think there's an element of understandability to that, right? Because, yes, it is all about the playoffs. This team has been knocking on the door. I believe that if the Chiefs were in the NFC, the Bills would have been to a couple of Super Bowls by now. Maybe they would have won a Super Bowl by now. There's no shame, you know, quote-unquote, in losing to the best QB/coach and team of, you know, right now in this decade, basically, of what it is, the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Bills are right there. I know that they haven't beaten them in the playoffs. It doesn't mean they can't beat them in the playoffs. They came 13 seconds away. They came maybe a drop pass away from Stephon Diggs. It's been right there. They've beaten them in the regular season. I've seen the Chiefs. I've been on the sidelines for the Bills beating the Chiefs. I know they can do it. It just hasn't happened yet. But for Bills fans who've seen that, they'll tell you it doesn't matter until you get to the playoffs. And I understand that. But, hey, you never know. Maybe they don't match up in the playoffs if something happens along the way before they wind up meeting each other.
So, lose-lose situation.
Right.
Look, I haven't been on the other side of the fence when it comes to losing to the same team over and over and over and over and over again, right? I don't know. With Buffalo right now. But I don't know how this is a lose-lose. Like, I feel like with this situation, like, this is one of those things where it's like, if you win this game, you could steal the one seed from the Kansas City Chiefs, and then you can control your narrative a little bit more getting to the playoffs. Because I think, if anything, if I'm a Buffalo fan, I'm like, I'm winning this game because I don't want to go to Arrowhead the rest of this season.
Right.
Like, at all.
At all, right?
And if that's a lose-lose situation, that's not true. That's not a true statement. That's that piss-poor mentality of like, well, if we beat him in the regular season, cool. Probably losing the playoffs. Well, if you beat them in the regular season, then you can actually play them again in your house in the postseason.
Where the Chiefs won last year.
I understand, but that's one game. That's one game, and it was a close game, and it could have gone the other way. Stephon Diggs catches that ball. Tyler Bass makes that field goal that you heard in the intro of Mac Amades. And if you take care of those things, you do win, and you know that. And I think if you were to interview 1,000 Bills fans and say, AFC Championship game, you want it in Kansas City, you want it in your house. Oh, I want it in our house. Then why are you so upset if you win this game or not? It's not a true statement.
How many people would say, though, I don't care where it is, as long as we don't have to play the Chiefs, though, too.
Every single team.
Yeah, right. Everybody would say that. My wife sent me an Instagram post this morning of a Buffalo Bills fan standing outside, and he says, I'm just waiting for the refs to screw us and the heartbreak that's going to come with that. Like that. So, I mean, maybe it is very apathetic up there, because I think the mentality of the Bills fan, if you will, and I talked to, you know, local celebrity Jimmy Gaffney, who's a big Bills fan as well, about this, and he's like, it just doesn't matter. Man, like it's the regular season. We win these games. It doesn't matter. Like, they want to do it in the playoffs. They know they haven't done it in the playoffs before. And I think until they do it in the playoffs against Kansas City, they're always going to have that kind of attitude. So I think they got their wish last year, winning that regular season game here. And then they had the home game, and then they lost that game as well. And they're like, oh my God, what are we supposed to do to try to beat this team? You know?
I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but like, I watched that comeback documentary, and Boston wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston, since 1908, was getting beat by the Yankees.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They weren't like, well, no. Kevin Millar's in the locker room pouring shots at Jack Daniels, being like, screw it, get drunk, go out there and be loose.
Right.
I know Buffalo players probably aren't in that mindset, but like, if I was a Buffalo fan, man, I'm getting juiced. I'm not apathetic at all. I'm like, we'll have Nick Geary on, right, a little bit later, but he had this to say in our cut. Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
spoiler.
I like the word apathy for this game. I'm not sure, I won't speak for everyone, but there is sort of like is Chiefs exhaustion the right way of putting it? I think that might be the right way of putting it.
Wow, Chiefs exhaustion and apathy is how Buffalo is approaching this game. I love the fact that that's the mindset and that's the feel in the city.
He goes, I don't speak for everyone, but that's like the Mr. Do-It-All for the Bills.
He's the pre- and post-game show host on WGR, our sister station, right?
He's the Beakley of Buffalo.
Basically, right.
So, like, the thing is that, like, I understand that side of, like, the fan base has just been, like, you know, brainwashed into, like, this is the evil team, it doesn't matter, like, whatever. But, like, isn't every year different? I mean, other than the Chiefs, but like, even last year was different for the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs were 11-6. 11-6, and had to go on the road and still did it.
And still did it.
Like, once the playoffs start, and I think that's just like, I don't know if Buffalo fans, like you always tell people, Bob Fesco, enjoy this while it's happening, because it's not going to last forever, right? Buffalo fans, you have a quarterback that can beat this quarterback. We've seen it.
We've seen it.
And for some reason, his best games come against this quarterback named Patrick Mahomes. You have to know that your quarterback can win this game. There's not many teams that have that fan base that can say that. Cincinnati can. I think Baltimore kind of can. And I think Buffalo can.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, that's it. Because Tom Brady doesn't exist in the NFL anymore.
He's done. Yeah.
So, and the reason they have that sort of bleed to exist is because of who they have at quarterback. Now, I understand we are the glorious side of all this. If we were on the Buffalo side, we might have the same opinion. I don't think I would. I would just be like, I'm so pissed that these guys want to kick their ass.
Right.
Because that's how it was when we played Denver for all those years. That's why I hate Denver. But every time I play Denver, every time the Chiefs play Denver, I'm up a notch. That's why I chugged a beer and spit it into my phone while I'm on FaceTime with you and Mallon.
Yeah.
Right? And like that's what brings that out. So to have this mentality of like, well, sure.
Yeah.
But what's it really mean? It's like, it means you can control more of what you need to control, which is the one seed and getting home field advantage in the playoffs. And it starts Sunday at 3:25.
I just don't know that I've ever kind of been in that mindset where a team has dominated my team in the postseason like the Chiefs have done with Buffalo. And I say dominate. They've won three. Buffalo's won none.
Indianapolis, you know, kind of did for a while.
Kind of for a while, but it was, and that was kind of the team.
But I was always like, are we going to do it this year?
Yeah.
Is this the year? You had that belief.
It feels like Buffalo's kind of been kicked in the nuts and they are just like, I don't care anymore. And if that's the attitude that they're going to have, which I don't think they will, I think Sunday is going to be an electric environment.
I think it's more the fan base than it is the team.
Yeah, I think the fan base is going to be electric on Sunday.
Yeah,
I think once that game gets going and they get lubed up and jump through fire and do all that kind of cool stuff out in the parking lot, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere inside that stadium. Like, I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about this game. Like, we're, I don't know how many days away yet. I can't do the math from Sunday, but I'm ready right now. Like, and I feel like Kansas City's ready right now for this game. And there is more on the line for us right now. Is it 2 days away?
Just two.
Because Saturday Friday, and Sunday.
Well, Friday is 2 day, and then Sunday is in 2 days.
Tomorrow, and then two.
There's a lot of days.
You're screwing me with these numbers.
Well,
what do we have today?
Welcome to the English language, the hardest language to learn.
I know, right? It really
two
is.
Two has three different variations.
Have you ever tried to like just teach somebody basic English? You're like, what? Like,
what are you talking about?
I'm still
I'm still trying to learn it.
I know. It's
there,
so hard.
There.
Right,
you're,
right.
You're.
Yeah, you're and you're. Yeah. Lay, lie, lay.
And then there's words like fork. The hell did we figure this word out? I don't know. This is just what you use to eat with. It's called a fork.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we've got the spork.
That's a game changer.
Which, why is KFC the only place that sporks?
That's so true.
Because they have the Famous Bowl, and you need to poke it and scoop it.
But then
where else do you need to poke and scoop?
Chipotle would be a good spork, right? If you get a bowl from Chipotle, that's a good spork.
I can see that.
But you don't need to poke.
Yeah, sure you do. If you get the meat, you poke the meat.
Yeah. But the meat's all chopped up. Kind of like Buffalo fan bases, hearts and minds.
Yeah.
No, I think the fans are full of it, though. I mean, they're gonna be hype, man.
And they are. They're just setting themselves up for if they do lose. Like, I knew we were gonna lose.
You know
lose.
What they have? They have a bad poker face because I know they're sitting there with kings in their hands.
They're ready to go.
I know they got 10-9 suited. Yeah. They're like, they're doing the. How much is it? It's okay. That's like half my stack. Okay, you're like that dude's got a hammer. Dude's got a hammer. Oh, I'm not sitting with that guy.
This is going to be a close game. Oh, it's going to be a fun game. But I think
they always are.
Right.
Find me a Buffalo game that was a blowout.
None.
They're only the AFC Championship game. That's the one.
And
time.
That was a long time ago.
Long
when Josh Allen was a kid trying to fight Mitchell Schwartz or whoever it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't Schwartz.
That first game. Yeah. First time. That first time. But other than that, they've all been close games. They've all been down to the wire. They've all been compelling. They've all been unbelievable. They've all been awesome. Back to the spork. Anywhere else other than Chipotle or KFC?
Go Chicken Co. has sporks, according to the text line.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I've never been to Go Chicken Co.
I haven't either.
I'm supposed to go and get the gizzards and lizards.
Yeah.
I don't think it's lizards. I think it's gizzards and
And
then you need to get the Go Chicken Co. sauce.
Yeah. That's what everybody says. So where else do Chinese restaurants maybe? Like fried rice?
Oh, well, that would work. Oh, absolutely. I thought you were saying, do they have it? Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Like,
Yeah, that would be good. That would work.
Yeah.
I always yell at you if you want a plastic fork. I'm like, good Lord.
Well, you're killing the environment.
I just use chopsticks with fried rice if I go there. It's tough.
Wow. But you know what it does? You don't eat as much fried rice if you're using the chopsticks. It's harder to eat. You get less, and then, you know, you get full faster because that's the way your brain works, and then you don't become a fat slob like me.
Maybe that's why they look better. I can't use chopsticks.
Really?
Can't you?
It's fine. What about soup with a spork?
Neither can Michael J. Fox, so you guys are the same. What? It's not a knock. Just saying you can't use them. He uses a spork probably a lot.
Oh, Panda Express.
Do they use a spork there?
And that's a perfect use.
Nothing Bunk Cakes has sporks.
Why?
I don't need to cut the cake.
I just use my hand.
You just use your hand.
By the way, have you ever had their, I think it's their white chocolate raspberry?
Yes.
You'll have sex with yourself. Like, it's that good.
Yes.
It is so good. That and their lemon are the, I mean, dude, I don't know what's better. Like, nothing bundt cakes or, like, anything else. Like, that's my birthday cake every year.
Oh, really? Nothing bundt.
Nothing bundt cake. They used to have a cookie dough one.
Mm.
But, yeah, back to the spork.
Yeah.
Who's the spork, like, of NFL? Lamar Jackson? Because you can scoop, you can poke, you can use, you can...
It used to, who was the guy back in the day that played for Pittsburgh?
Oh, Cordell Stewart?
Yeah. Yeah, didn't they call him like the Swiss Army knife or something? You know, because he could do it. Okay. Do you know who Cordell Stewart is?
I know that name. Yeah.
See, here we go.
Here we go. Here we go!
Good pull, though, Dusty. Just off that, that Steelers player, Cordell Stewart.
Yeah. Do you know where he went to college? Colorado. You know who his running back was? Brian Westbrook. You know what they're famous for? Five downs against Mizzou.
That's right.
Ask Mizzou fans about Cordell Stewart. They'll give you a whole list of names they like to call that guy.
Does Missouri have more like devastating, unbelievable type losses? The fifth down, the kick ball, like all of that kind of stuff.
The Thomas Robinson block.
It was clean block. Clean. Yeah. It was clean.
Where'd you go to college?
Clean block. Bob Davis said it. Block! Block!
Oh my gosh. Well, you got to be thankful for somebody.
You do. Chiefs we're thankful for. We're going to play you a highlight. If you know who the Chief we're thankful for is, be caller number 6, and you will be the final qualifier this week to win that $500 grand prize from our friends over at Hy-Vee. You can do it to buy your Thanksgiving items. You buy a turkey or buy a ham, get a turkey for free this week at Hy-Vee. So be caller number 6 when you know the Chief that we're thankful for.
Edwards-Helaire in at running back. Under center, Mahomes with 3 tight ends. They're going to throw a tight end screen left to... trying to angle to the far pylon, stretching out. Does he have it? Does he have it? It's a touchdown, Kansas City.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
They called Cordell Stewart slash. Damn it, Bob.
Was I wrong on that one? Who was the Swiss Army knife then? Or am I just making that up? Which I very well could be.
Somebody says Travis Hunter is a spork.
Have you seen the video that Colorado just released of Travis Hunter v. Travis Hunter?
No. Ooh, that's cool.
It's a 5-second teaser for the Heisman, and it's Travis Hunter lined up against Travis Hunter, and then it goes to black and it says Heisman.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just retweeted it on X or whatever we're calling it these days, formerly Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can check that out. Yeah. You can check that out this weekend or right now if you want to. It's a quick 5-second video, but man, I hope they put it into action where we actually see Travis Hunter go against Travis Hunter. That would be cool.
You want to share your news?
Oh, yeah, some stadium news to get to, as we know.
Surprise.
This. Surprise. Yay!
Here's Bob again, twice in 1 week.
Yay! Chiefs are moving to Ohio. No, I kid. I did.
Don't say that to me.
No, I'm not. No, they're not. Big weekend for the state of Ohio. Playing a game at Wrigley Field, the Buckeyes are against Northwestern. That would be cool to play a game in Wrigley, wouldn't it? I'd love
not
to do
really.
That. You don't think so?
Nah, brick walls.
Well, you got to be careful. Yeah, you can't run into the walls.
Yeah, because that's what I'm worried about when I'm running it down to catch a pass and be like, oh, yeah, there's a brick wall. Make sure you get out of bounds.
Smash.
I get it. They're probably not playing in that dimension, but.
Well, no, I think that Wrigley is a tight fit for a football field.
I mean, it's a very
field.
Tight field.
Yeah, it is. It is a very tight fit for
that's
the field.
That's why I still think it's kind of crazy.
Could you fit a football field in Kauffman, by the way? We were sitting out in left field.
Yeah, you can't hit a home run out of Kauffman. Of course you could fit
but
a football field.
How would you angle the football field at Kauffman Stadium?
Foul
would
ball
you
go, foul
that, that's what I was thinking, yeah. too, because we were out there
that's
for a playoff game, and like I'm like, could you fit a football field here? I think it would be kind of cool to play a football
they
game at the
K. Put a stage and Motley Crue's fans on that field.
Yeah.
I think you can get a football field.
Like the last year before they moved to 119th and all, they should probably play some football out there at Kauffman Stadium. But anyway, I digress. But there is some news to get to when it does come to what's going on in the stadium. Do you want to start with the Royals or do you want to start with the Chiefs on this one? Because
yes.
There's a little bit of news for both. We'll start with the Chiefs on this one. I was talking to some sources yesterday about this, and I've been told they're making progress on both sides of the state line, which is good news for those who want to renovate Arrowhead, which that's kind of what I'm under the impression that it would be. We're talking about a renovated Arrowhead or we're talking about a new build, obviously, on the Kansas side of the state line. There's no field to renovate on the Kansas side of the state line. So if they're making progress on both sides of the state line, we're probably looking at a renovated Arrowhead in Missouri or a brand new dome stadium in Kansas. And that's what we're looking at. We are looking at, from everything that I've heard, a new stadium on the Kansas side versus a renovated stadium on the Missouri side. Obviously, the cost is completely different. Missouri is about a third of the cost less to renovate than to build something new. That's just kind of the fact of life. But I'm going to say this, and I know people don't want to hear this at times. the pathway to get something done in Kansas is easier than the pathway to get something done in Missouri. And that's because Missouri has so many other teams and entities that are going to want money as well. If you give to the Chiefs, you're going to then have to give to the Cardinals. You're going to have to give to the Blues. You're going to have to give to the University of Missouri, and you're going to have to give to Springfield as well, because you're going to have politicians, and that's where it gets ugly when politics and politicians get involved. You're going to have the politicians from the east side of the state say, oh, we'll vote in a $500 million improvement or whatever it was back in the day when we were talking about that tax, but I need something for my side of the state. I need something for the Cardinals. So you take what would, say, be a $500 million project in Kansas City, and then it grows exponentially because the Blues, the Cardinals, the Columbia, the University of Missouri, and the minor league ballpark in Springfield, and all their representatives are going to say, we'll do this for Kansas City, but we need money for all of us as well. Kansas doesn't have that problem. Ain't nothing going on in Kansas right now, right? Like, right. There's no other professional teams or anything like that in Kansas that are going to have their hands out. So the pathway is easier because of stuff like that. And, you know, I don't know how much money the state of Missouri is going to have to come up with to take care of everybody, but it may be something where it just becomes too much money for the state of Missouri to afford.
Let me ask you this. And I'm just playing like the listener or the fan side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do you think that this is, you know, maybe Missouri's way of kind of trying to show that they're interested and really trying to keep it here? And also, how much of this is Kansas being like, hey, they know what they're doing, right? Like, they know they had their chance. Here's all these plots. Here's all these ideas. And then the other thing, too, is like, how much of this is, you know, it's tough to say, like, percentage-wise, but, like, how much of it do these people actually think that these will be the spots, or how much of it is it just like, hey, like, if we talk about it, it'll get people waking up about it? Because, like,
yeah,
the stadium was hot, teared off, right? The Royals go through their season, the Chiefs kick off, they're going whatever.
Right.
And then, you know, this week out of nowhere, it's like, hey, by the way, here's a new spot. And it's right. Like, where's this cut? Like, why is this happening now?
Right. Well, because the baseball season's over, so now they get, you know, the opportunity to focus on that. And time is of the essence, Dusty. 2031 is when these leases expire. Neither team wants to play in that current venue the way that it is after 2031. The Royals want nothing to do with Kauffman Stadium anymore. They've made that perfectly clear. The Chiefs are open to a renovated Arrowhead. They're also open to a new build on the Kansas side of the state line.
So why wouldn't they just, if the Royals do move downtown, let's just say hypothetically they move downtown.
Right.
Would they not just like doze everything out and then just start from scratch in that area with a new Chiefs facility?
No, from what I understand, if the Chiefs do anything in Missouri, it's a renovated stadium. Okay. The only new, from what I understand, would be on the Kansas side of the state line at this point in time. Now, again,
that's a heavy renovation.
It's a big renovation. Yeah, you're talking about $1 billion for a renovation versus about $3 billion to build something new. Those are just kind of the numbers, right?
I'm saving a few, Billy.
But you are, but does it make sense? Because that renovation will last you another 20 years. That stadium will be 85 years old by that time,
right,
or whatever it is. You know, it's 60, 70, 80 years old by the time that you know, renovation gets to its completion. Is it better to renovate and then have an 85-year-old building and then have to renovate again or do something again? Or is it better to bite the nut now and just build something new that you know is going to last and could potentially bring all kinds of new events to town? That's something that the Hunt family and the Chiefs and them all have to decide on their own. Now, they are going to do focus groups. They contracted somebody called CSL. They sent out a press release yesterday.
Which I don't know how that hasn't happened already.
Because you get caught up in, you know, just timing and everything.
I just feel like you'd want to do that before you wanted to, like, go to find your plots. Like, if you were to, like, find a focus group over, let's say, your the spot that you reported on 119th and Row.
Right.
I feel like you'd go over there before you would say, hey, we're thinking about this, instead of being like, we're thinking about this, and then people are like, wait, what, our backyard?
Right.
What do you mean? Like, you know, maybe come talk to me first.
Yeah, no, I think it's the Chiefs, and they've contracted the CSL to do kind of, I don't want to call it a feasibility study, but they're going to talk to their season ticket holders about, hey, what do you want? They're going to present both options to them, and, you know, new, renovated, and go through the whole thing, because you're leaving Arrowhead on Sunday. You don't want that stadium gone. You want to stay there forever. But then you start to talk about the business side of things, and what makes sense, and what's best for the community, and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things that they need to still work through right now. But the news, if you will, is that there's been progress made on both sides of the state line. So if you're about like keeping the team in Missouri, which I think a lot of the top, you know, political leaders in the state of Missouri, obviously they want to keep the Chiefs. The top political leaders in Kansas want to keep the Chiefs. It's just, I say easier to go to Kansas because there's no other mouths to feed on the Kansas side of the state line. On the Missouri side of the state line, as we talked about Tuesday, you've got the University of Missouri, the Blues, you've got the Cardinals, and you've got the minor league ballpark in Springfield. They're all going to want to be fed as well. So you take a small project in Kansas City that now becomes a massive statewide project because the guy...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Eyes in St. Louis aren't going to say, yeah, let's give money to Kansas City because we're still a very divided area where St. Louis v. Kansas City, people are going to battle this thing out in Jefferson City. Now, for the Royals situation, there are two spots that I told that they are looking at. We kind of talked about those the other day, the 435 in Antioch site, the old Brookridge golf course, that is still in play. Mm-hmm. That site has been graded. If you've ever been by there recently, you can see all the fences are up and it's like, it's ready. Type thing, right? Like you could start your construction. That's more ready than the 119th and Nall location. But I've heard from some people that the 119th and Nall location is a little bit of a favorite because they already have that built-in town center plaza area where people are used to going. And what I mean by that is people go there all the time. They eat there. They spend money there. It's part of their habit. And when you start talking about star bonds and repaying those star bonds, the quicker and more money you can generate, the faster they get paid off. The Brookridge site doesn't have anything around it, right? There's no town center plaza there, any place where people are used to going with their entertainment dollars being spent. Over there at 119th and Nall, when you build a new stadium, if you build the new stadium there and you add in your entertainment district, people are already used to going there. So it's not like you got to sell a new location in town for people to go. People have already gone to 119th and Nall because there's so many bars and restaurants and stuff around there right now. So it'd be quicker to pay off the star bonds, people are thinking, with that situation. And so here's the other thing that I find interesting. Mayor L is out there doing a lot of talking about, you know, this Washington Square Park, which I think that idea is terrible, by the way. It's just a tight location. Everybody wants parking. Everybody wants, you know, the amenities around there. There's not a whole lot by that Washington Square Park. I'm not into taking a park away. But here's what I'm hearing. You're not hearing from anybody on the Kansas side of the state line, right? Nobody's out there parading ideas on the Kansas side of the state line. That's because everybody on the Kansas side of the state line, from what I've been told, has signed NDAs, non-disclosure. They can't talk. Legally, they can't talk. The more the mayor talks, the more I realize it may be slipping away on the Missouri side of the state line for downtown baseball, because if it was more serious on the Missouri side and downtown, then he would have had to sign an NDA. He's doing a lot of talking about these plans that don't have a lot of legs to them, but nobody on the Kansas side is talking because of these NDAs that are signed. So kind of keep that in mind when you start to hear the chirping that is going on. And so that's where we are. And then yesterday, I'm sure a lot of you guys saw the news, the Star Printing Press, which they looked at as the location, you know, in April for the Royal Stadium, just sold to some company that's converting that into a data center. So that area now is off the table in downtown Kansas City. Mm. So that's where we stand right now when it comes to the stadium issue.
It's Bob Fesco with the stadium news. We'll get back into the Buffalo Bills-Kansas City Chiefs matchup as we'll call out to Buffalo's KC Black Rock Bar. We'll talk to Vinny here on the other side, here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.